We thank you this day for the day that you have made. We thank you because you counted us to be one of those that will be alive today. We also thank you because you've made it possible for us to assemble together in your house. I pray, Lord God, that you will open the scriptures to us and give us understanding spirits and give us teachable hearts. I pray, Father God, that the words that come from behind this pulpit will not be words of the wisdom of man, but they will be words that the Spirit of God alone can speak. So, Lord, I pray that you will possess me and flow through me today, but that you will possess my hearers also, that the Word of God will be able to mix with faith in all of their hearts. We take authority over every spirit that fights against the preacher, that fights against the Word of God. We pray that they will all be under our feet right now so that we'll be hindered in no way. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said, Philippians is where we are reading from this morning, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I want to zero in this morning on verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The title of my message this morning is Knowing God. Knowing God. There is a major, major, major problem in the church world today. And the problem is simply this. Many who go to church only know about God. They don't know God. Many who worship God today, they've read about him. They've taught about him. Maybe they have even worked for him. But they don't know him personally. If there is any desire I have for us in this place, is that God will make us men and women who really, really, really know God. Paul had a strong desire to know God. And that's why I feel this morning led of God that we need to examine a little bit closer this statement that Paul made, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Isn't it sad as you mingle, especially with Pentecostals and charismatics today, that we are so consumed with a desire to experience the power of his resurrection? We are so consumed with power, anointing, double portion, power to heal, power for signs, power for wonders, power for miracles, power for prophecy, all kinds of seminars and have you ever seen anybody have a seminar or a conference on knowing God? Did you know if anyone stands up and says, we're going to have a conference on knowing God, Less people will attend that than if he stood up and he says, we are going to have a seminar, a conference on the demonstration of the power of God. It's sad, but it's true. I see it, and it troubles me that today, as we get close to the coming of the Savior, men are no more pursuing knowing God. They are pursuing the power of God. But look at the order. Paul the Apostle said, first and foremost, my desire is to know him. And you know one thing I found out? Once you know God, it will be easy for you to experience the power of God. Don't put the cart before the horse. If you pursue after the power of God and you neglect the presence of God, the power of God will destroy you. So Paul said, the first thing first, that I may know him. Now, like what he said, for one reason, Paul many times will have a desire for the church as a whole. But in this place, he made it very personal. He didn't say, I desire that we may know him. Mm-mm. He said, I don't know what the others desire. But the desire I have as Paul the Apostle is I desire to know him. You see, it's so sad, but it's so true that it is not every Christian that come to the house of God that have a desire to really, really know God. Many of us get saved and will stop at salvation. But you see, there is more of God to know after the initial knowledge of being saved. I'll get to that momentarily. He said that I, Paul the Apostle, may know him. Let me tell you what I'm talking about this morning. What we are talking about this morning is a personal experience. There are those who know God as the God of my parents. There are those who know God as the God of dad and mom. There are those who know God as the God of their prophet or as the God of their pastor. Paul said, I don't want to know God as the God of somebody else. I want to know God for myself, by myself. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem I see in Christendom today is that there is a lack of knowledge of the God that we serve, that I don't know what the desire of others may be, Paul said. My father may desire to know him or he may not desire to know him. I don't know what my mother's desire is. I don't know what my sibling's desire is. I don't know what my husband's desire is. I don't know what my wife's desire is. But I single myself out, Paul said. And I want to make my desire known to you, Philippians. The desire I have is that I may know him. I like the word know. In the Greek, it is a verb. It's a verb that suggests not just a knowledge, but an absolute knowledge. This is what I mean. Some know God only as a God of miracles, and that's where they stop. And so everything they pursue in God is the reception of miracles. Others know God as the God that answers prayers. So all they do and their own emphasis is prayer, 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 prayer. That's all they know about God. There are others that only know God as a God of love. And so when you hear them speak, they speak about John 3:16. For God is love. For God is love. Let's love one another. For love is of God. All those things are true. But that is not the absolute knowledge of God. Paul the Apostle was saying that I may know God. If there is anything any man can know about God, I want to be one of those that know it. That should be the desire of every brother and of every sister in Jesus Christ. Not a partial knowledge. You know, there are churches who do that. They talk about faith. And all they talk about faith, all they talk in their church is faith, 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 faith. And all the people in their church know about is faith. There are those who talk about holiness, and all the people know in their church is holiness. They know nothing about deliverance. They know nothing about faith. They know nothing about the other things. But Paul said, I want to know God in the fullness of who he is, that I may have not a partial knowledge of God, but an absolute, a complete knowledge of God. I read the story of several blind men that were taken to go feel an elephant, and they were instructed to tell, after they have felt the elephant, what in their own opinion an elephant looks like. Unfortunately, none of them have seen an elephant before they got blind. So one by one, they went and felt the elephant. The first that went held on to one of the legs of the elephant. And it went up and it went down and it went up and it went down. And then he came back, they said, what do you think an elephant looks like? He said, it's amazing. An elephant is big. An elephant is like the trunk of a tree. The second one went, and that one did not feel the leg. It felt the trunk of the elephant. He went all this way, and the elephant was still there. And he went up, he went down, he went up, he went down. And he said, you know what? An elephant is like a wall that is hard. And those who could see, they smiled. And they looked at themselves. They said, partial knowledge. Another one went and grabbed the tail of the elephant and felt it up and felt it down. And he said, this is incredible. An elephant is like a snake. Another one went and grabbed on the ear of the elephant and saw how wide the elephant's ear was. And he remembered the fan that they used in church in those days. And he said, an elephant is like a fan that we used to fan ourselves in the heat of the tropics. And those who had eyes to see smiled and said, partial knowledge. Raise your hand up and pray this prayer with me. Say, oh Lord, say, open my eyes to know you thoroughly and to know you completely and to know you absolutely. Open your mouth and pray that prayer in the name of Jesus. Father, let me not be blind to who you are. Let me know you for who you are. Open my eyes that I may know you, that I may not liken you to who you are not, that I may not just see part of you, but I may see you and know you totally and absolutely and completely. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Paul said that I may know him. You know what knowledge signifies? Knowledge signifies intimacy. That's what it signifies. Intimacy. Intimacy. Look, you can know a person and not know him. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This man is married. His wife is somewhere in this church this morning. I know him. But if I stand behind this pulpit and I say, you know this brother in the front, I know him. His wife will say where she's sitting, yeah, you know him, but I really, really know him. And that's the difference in the knowledge of God that I'm talking about this morning. I want you to go beyond the knowledge of God that you have right now. When you think you've got God figured out, there is still more of him to know. And that's why we sang that song, more, 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 more about Jesus. And until we see him face to face, when we know him like he is, and we know him like he knows us, we'll never figure him out completely. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. If there's any cry you and I shall have in our hearts, it's, God, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. There's a song I love so much by Andrew Crouch. I love to listen to it all the time. Anytime I listen to it, I cry. When I'm sitting in my car alone, I play it over and over and over and over and over. And it's all about knowing God. He said, I want to know you. 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 When you think you know God, you really don't know God. You know what my problem is with us? Every one of us in this room this morning can be classified into two categories. The first category are those who believe in their church, but they do not believe in the God of the church. They are here this morning. We're going to church. We'll go to Fresh Anointing. Or maybe you're not a member of Fresh Anointing. Maybe you're a member of another church. You say, well, we just come visiting. We're going back to our church next Sunday because we love our church so much. Well, you can believe in your church. You can know your church. But do you know the God of the church universal? That's the first group of people. Oh, you say that's bad. Well, there's another one that is bad. The other one that is bad are those who believe in the God of heaven. They have a relationship with him. They know him as the Savior. He lives in their heart. But do you know what happens? They believe in God of heaven, but they do not know the God that they believe in. You say, is that possible? Absolutely possible. It is possible to know Jesus and not know Jesus. And if there is anything that breaks my heart about Christendom today, it's church filled with hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people who claim to be born again, but they don't know God. And I see it among us. I see it among us. I see a move in Africa now. They call it revival. Churches that used to be 200 are now 20,000, 400,000, 500,000 coming to church. And I went to Africa and I shook my head. When I saw the level of Christianity in Africa in the year 2005, and I saw the level of Christianity and the wealth and the depth of Christianity in Africa when I was living there in the 1980s. Oh, there is a shallowness now like I've never seen before. The depth that we used to see 20 years ago, the depth that we used to see 25 years ago is no longer there. Here are people who profess to be born again, but they do not know the Lord who born them again. If you'll excuse my grammatical expression. There are many, 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 many people that know God, but don't know God. Jesus looked at Philip in the book of John. He said, you mean you have been with me so long and you don't know me? You know, that's exactly the question the Lord will ask if you walked into this room this morning. I don't doubt the fact that you're a Christian. No, no, no. I don't doubt the fact that you have given your life to Jesus, if you have. But what I'm troubled with today is because of people who say they are born again and they can't say anything about God because they don't know him intimately. I want you to notice something here. Do you know that when Paul said that I may know him, he was already born again? Wait a minute, folks. The man who is crying here to know God is not just somebody coming out of the religion of the Pharisees. He had already had an encounter with Jesus. This is not Saul of Tarsus, people. This is Paul the apostle. And even though Paul was now an apostle, working miracles, going on missionary journeys, and doing wonders in the name of the Lord, when he said that I may know him, he had seen Jesus face to face. When he said, oh, that I may know him, he had spoken to Jesus mouth to mouth. When he said that I may know him, he had seen abundance of revelations and visions, some of which he said he can't even share with anybody. And at the end of the day, he said, I have a cry in my heart. I don't know him. That I may know him. My friend, what do you know that you are so arrogant? What have you seen that you think you've seen it all? Huh? You dream a little dream and you see an angel and you get puffed up. Friend, you've not seen nothing yet. You don't know this God yet. You see a similitude of the Lord pass in front of you and they say, we got it made. And you write a book. So what? You took a picture and there was a cloud in the picture that looked like Jesus, and that is what your ministry is all about. So we've seen him. We've seen him. Look at the picture. So what? I used to have a lady down south who came to a little fellowship that I was. She brought a picture of something that looked like a cloud in her room by the lamp. And that everybody looked at her as if this. What have you seen? You saw a cloud? Jesus, Paul saw a person. But you see, in the country of the blind, the one-eyed man is the king. Are you listening to me this morning? When the rest of us Christians have not seen nothing, if somebody sees a cloud, we make him a king. And Paul is saying, shallowness has come into present-day Christianity. Why is it that we have no desire to press in? Why is it that we have no desire to go higher? Why is it that we have no desire to sing that old church song? I'm climbing up the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. There is a shallowness in Christendom today that I'm sure even troubles God himself. You know what Paul the Apostle said? I like what he said in 2 Timothy. He said, I know whom I have believed. Are you listening to me this morning? I know whom I have believed. Honey, do you believe? That's part one of the question. If your answer is yes, I bless God for you. But do you know whom? Have you ever seen two people talking to one another, especially the Africans? They look at themselves and they say, you don't know me, oh. You don't know me, oh. Now, that's a negative way of saying something. But do you know that's how God will come to you with all that you think you know? He looks at you and says, you don't know me at all. You don't know me at all. And many of us, we're still kindergartners. I sat down in the corner this morning and I just looked at my own life as we were singing praise and worship. I looked at my own life and I said to myself, after these many years of being born again, is this where I am supposed to be in the knowledge of God? Check yourself out. Don't you think you ought to have done better? Don't you think you ought to have gone deeper? Don't you think you ought to have gone higher? God has sent me to you today to challenge you. Let's go higher. We used to sing a song when I was in the South, in the black church. Let's go higher, higher in God. Let's go higher, higher in God. Let's go higher, 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 higher in God. Let's go higher. Higher in God. Shouldn't that be our challenge? To go higher in God. To go deeper in God. I don't understand, ladies and gentlemen. You win a featherweight championship belt and you are satisfied. What about the heavyweight? Somebody is carrying that belt. Who told you it cannot be worn around your waist? You have featherweight and the whole world knows about it. And the next time you even go into the contest, an amateur takes the belt from you. Paul the apostle, the miracle worker. Paul the apostle, the man who works signs and wonders. Paul the apostle, the one that has seen Jesus face to face. Paul the apostle, the one that had talked with angels. Paul the apostle, he looked up and down and he said, I have a desire. And my desire is that you say, Pastor, is it possible to know God? If it were not possible to know God, he wouldn't desire it. And let me tell you something. Others have known God other than Paul the Apostle. There was a man way back in the Old Testament called Enoch. The Bible says Enoch lived at a time when there was no grace. No grace. No grace. This is a time of grace, and we live graceless lives. A time when there was no grace. The Bible says, Enoch, my God, walked with God. Have you ever seen husband and wife marching down the aisle on the wedding day? Marched with God. Marched with God. Walked with God. And they walk with God so long. They walk with God so tight. They walk together for so long. One day, he went out and went for a walk with God. And God said, let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go on. God is coming soon. He's not coming for a church that is doing their own thing. He's not coming for a people that is going their own way. He's coming for a people that are walking with him. Oh, for grace to know you more. Then Enoch came and Enoch died. And even the Bible had a testimony in the book of Hebrews. He said, before he died, he had a testimony that he pleased God. How can you walk with the one that you don't please? It's impossible. That's where your problem is. That's where my problem is. The prayer leader this morning said we should pray whether we like it or not, that we would do the will of God. If you don't do the will of God, he won't reveal himself to you. He won't walk with you if you want to do your own thing. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Lord, help me to please you. When the world wants me to displease you, help me to please you. When my flesh wants me to displease you, help me to please you. When people around me want me to displease you, help me to please you. Because that's the only one that can walk it taken by God. Oh, you said it's impossible. Honey, it is possible. You said you can walk with God if you are not married. But the moment you get married, forget it. The pressures and the troubles of marriage will stop you from walking with God. No, 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 no. Abraham walked with God. In fact, the Bible specifically says that Abraham was the friend. Jesus Christ, the friend of God. How many Christians today can you call the friend? Well, many of us can be called the acquaintances of God. But I want to be called a friend of God. You can know a person and not be their friend. Many of you know each other in this church. Oh, I know Brother so-and-so. I know Sister so-and-so. But you know you can't say, I'm a friend of Sister so-and-so on the level of intimacy. That's what God is challenging us, that I may know him, that I may be his friend. What about the man called Moses? He knew God. He beheld his similitude. If all these people knew God, you think you and I cannot? Jesus had 12 apostles. He had 3 in the inner circle. Peter, James, and John. But there was one. There was one. Turn to somebody and tell them there was one. Tell them, and you will be that one. In the name of Jesus, I will be that one. There was one called John the Beloved. John the Beloved did not only know Jesus. The Bible says he laid in the bosom of Jesus Christ. He was so intimate and close to him. When they needed to know something, when they needed to know something, not because they don't know him, but they knew there was somebody who knew him better than they did. I'm not here, ladies and gentlemen, to teach arrogance. I'm not here, ladies and gentlemen, to teach competition. I'm not here, ladies and gentlemen, to tell you as if we're in a race. But let me tell you something. If there are 1,000 Christians assembled, I want to be number one. The only thing Peter knew was to ask stupid questions. That's all he knew. The only thing Peter knew was to do stupid things. But he was one of the apostles. The only thing Judas knew was to steal money. But he was one of the apostles. The only thing John... have you ever heard about the sons of thunder? But there was a man. When the history of our lives is written, I pray they will be able to single you out. And they'll be able to say there was a man called Sam. He lived from the 19 so-and-so to the 2000 so-and-so. He was one of a kind. Everybody around him knew God, but he was the spokesman of everybody because he laid his head in his bosom. May I ask you this morning, where do you lay your head? Last night, on whose chest did you lay your head? Some prostitute on the 42nd Street? Or some prostitute by JFK Airport. You can't lay your head on the chest of a prostitute and come here on a Sunday morning and claim that I know him, I know him, I know him. Shut up! You don't know him. You don't know him. John the Beloved had an intimate relationship with him. I don't know what it is about this man. He stood out of all the 12. All the 12 can claim to be disciples, to be apostles. But even the Bible says categorically that John, whom Jesus loved, he didn't hit the rest. But there was something special about this. Honey, if you will know God, if you will know God, if you will know God, God will so love you. Yeah, God will so love you. God will so love you. And if God loves you, what is it you want that you can't get? You know, we are living in the last days. It's now time for the people of God to know God, because it's now time for some people to stand out and do some exploits for God. And the Bible says exploits don't get done by those who don't know God. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, those that know their God, number one, they shall be strong, and number two, they shall do exploits. No matter what it takes, God will give me the grace. No matter what it takes, God will give you the grace to be able to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you and the problems of life that keep you from walking hand in hand with him, so that in these last days, you will be a demonstration of his glory. You'll be a demonstration of his power. You'll be a demonstration of his anointing. And you'll not be one of the fake people. Fake people that we have out there. Listen, if God wants to give me an anointing, I don't want an anointing similar to what we have seen on TV. I don't want an anointing similar to what we have heard on radio. But I know to get to that level, I've got to lay my head on his bosom. And I know, ladies and gentlemen, oh God, there are many things grabbing your head. I'm pulling you, grabbing your head. I'm pulling you. But whether they like it or not, I'm going to hold my head to the head of the bosom of the Master. And I say, Master, keep me close unto your bosom. Paul cried out that, nothing is as profitable as knowing God, precious hearts. Those that know God are those who are strong. Somebody say, I don't know why I'm such a weak Christian. We know why. It's because you don't know God. That's why you're so weak. Somebody said, I don't know why I can't do exploits. Exploits don't get done by those who are still exploiting the world, exploiting the flesh, and exploring the things that the Bible forbids. Ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you this morning that as we pray, you will make a resolution in your heart that no matter what is around me, I want to stay connected to the God of heaven. And you know, if you do, my God, how can you know a billionaire and be poor? How can you know a medical doctor and not receive medical care? How can you know a lawyer and not have someone to plead your case? You have all to lose if you don't know him. If you will know God the way you ought to know God, you don't have to worry about no witches. You don't have to worry about no wizards. You don't have to worry about no demons. Why? Because there's no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. That is, as long as Jacob and Israel are close to me like this. Have you noticed in the book of Judges, when they walk away from him, problem comes. When they draw close to him, solution comes. Why are you going back and forth? Why are you going back and forth? Why don't you stay with Jesus? Why don't you stay with Jesus? Why don't you stay with Jesus? Don't be an on and off visitor. Abide in the vine. That's what he said in John chapter 15. I have to close. But I must not close without telling you what you need to do in order to know him more. What must I do in order to know him more? I'll give you five. Every one of them will start with the word D to make it easy for you to remember. Number one, you have to draw near to him. Do you know that's the first step of knowing a person? You can't know a person to the level that we're talking about this morning at a distance. You have to draw nigh unto him. You know what the Bible says in the book of James chapter 4 verse 8? It says, draw nigh unto me. And what did he say after that? And I will, not I might. He promises with a guarantee that if you will draw nigh unto me, this is what I will do. I will draw nigh unto you. There's an encounter there. Draw near. Oh. Aha. Here is me sitting with what I really like to sit with, who I really like to sit with, but I need to draw nigh to the pulpit because I'm preaching. I can't sit down here and preach. I got to stand behind there and preach. I'm only using this to rest a little bit in my illustration. Now, if God is behind the pulpit and is saying to me, preacher boy, get up and draw nigh unto me. Listen to this. In order to draw nigh unto something, you have to draw away from something. Do you get what I'm trying to say? No matter how much you love that something, no matter how much you think that thing is important to you, ladies and gentlemen, God is number one. If God says draw nigh, I've got to carry my bag. I've got to carry my purse. I've got to carry my luggage. And I've got to say, I'm tired. I'm drawing near to somebody. In order for you to draw nigh to God, there's got to be a drawing away from some things. Amazingly, those things may be sinful. Are you hearing me this morning? But amazingly, those things may not be sinful. All things are lawful unto me. But if I'm to draw nigh to God, all things are not expedient. You know what your problem is? Why you are still shallow? You know what my problem is? Why I'm still shallow? We've refused to walk away from some things. We've refused to walk away from some things. One part of us saying, I want to draw nigh to God. And another part of us is saying, I want to draw nigh to these two. You can't do between the two. Don't halt between two opinions. Walk away from that thing. Move away from that thing. And let me tell you something. That thing that you lose, you will find it in God. There are people who say they want to know God, but they are not willing to draw away. My friend, it's time to pack your luggage. Did you hear me? You've heard this many, many, many times. This is the final time. Judgment may follow after this. It is time to carry your bag and carry your luggage and say, goodbye, world! I stay no longer with you! Goodbye, pleasures of sin! I made up my mind to draw nigh unto God. Won't you make up your mind this morning? The Indians have a wonderful way of catching monkeys. They don't shoot them. They don't throw spears at them. They don't throw arrows at them. All they do is find a barrel with a narrow neck and put peanuts inside them. And monkeys love peanuts. They would take the barrels with the narrow neck, with the peanuts, and put them under trees in the woods. They catch monkeys live. Heavy, heavy barrels filled with peanuts. When the monkeys come, they do their fingers like this Make it so narrow, not wide like this. Make it so narrow so they can fit into the narrow neck of the barrel. They go deep down and grab a handful of peanuts. Then comes the problem. Are you getting the picture? The pool and the pool, but it's too narrow. And they forget that the only way for it to come out is to let go. Let go. They won't let go. Turn to somebody and tell them, you better let go. And so they start crying. They are the ones that call the hunters when they are caught. And the hunters just walk like Brother Sam always say, majestically. They don't even have to run. And they look at the monkey. The monkey will be running, but the bottle is too large for them to run fast. The hunter just gets there, grabs it. He lifts it up. The foolish thing is still holding on to the barrel. That's how they are caught and they are put into bondage. Honey, there's a peanut that you are holding on to. You know it. You know it. You know it. Don't tell me you don't know the way out. The way out is to let go. Release it. Open up your hands and say, God, take it. As long as you hold on to that thing, you will be a captive. As long as you hold on to that thing, you will never know God and experience the freedom that the God of heaven offers. Folks, draw near entails drawing away from. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You can't draw nigh to this God and still hold on to your girlfriend. It's impossible. You can't draw nigh to this God and still hold on to all my children, General Hospital. First step to knowing God is to let him go. I don't want to use myself as a focus of the preaching. I know how many things I have let go because of God. And I know of many things I still need to let go of. I stand before you, I lie not. It doesn't have to be a sin. It may be proper, but it may be a hindrance to the knowledge of God. I've told you the story here many, 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 many times. How I was praying, God said, God, I want to know you, God. God said, well, you got an idol now. He said, unless you let go of your idol, you won't know me. I said, idol? I don't have no idol. He said, you do. I said, what is it? The Lord God told me. He said, your idol is talk radio. He said, you can die for Rush Limbaugh and listen to him every day from 12 to 3. And then when he's done, you hang on to Sean Hannity from 3 to 6. And then from 6 to 7, you hang on to the great one, Mark Levin. And then from 7 to 9, you go to church. Can you imagine what progress you will make if 3 to 6 is saying, Oh God, that I may know it. Oh God, fill me with your mind. Oh God, fill me with the affairs of heaven. Oh God, what is the current affairs of heaven? Oh God, what is in your mind? Oh God, that I may know you. So you'll come out better. Then I give God an excuse. I said, God, you know how I got hooked on this thing? When I came to America in the 80s, I wanted to know how to speak American accent better. And the only way I could speak it better was to listen to talk radio. He said, excuses, excuses, give me more excuses. So I shut up. What is hindering you? You know it. Let go. You'll have the freedom to roam around in God. Number one, draw near to God. Number two, dedicate yourself to him. Dedicate yourself. And you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I was reading somewhere this past week about the dedication of the young convert because of Christ. You notice when you first knew God, I think it was Spurgeon who wrote it. You know when you first knew God, the fervency, the dedication, the sensitivity, the things you do now that don't matter anything to you. If you did it then, you will not eat for 3 days. But now you have known God. Now you have been known of God.
Now you have become familiar with God. And they say, familiarity breeds contempt. You are now so contempt of God. You can do it. Well, it doesn't matter. I know the throne of grace. I can always go there and get help in time of need. But this is what happens. Every time you sin against God, you grieve the Holy Ghost. And it's not a plus for you before God. It's a minus. Dedicate yourself to God and say, God, as the heart panteth after the river brooks, so my heart panteth after thee, O God. Psalm 42 verse 1. And say, I surrender, I yield, I give everything over unto you. You know, there was a song that was just coming through my mind all week long. It was a song our children in Vacation Bible School, I think it was back in Alabama, I don't know whether it was here, but they had a song, you know how they have a theme song. They had a theme song that year. It went something like this. I don't know the whole of the song, but I know enough to be able to bring out my point. Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There is no joy, there is no peace until the Lord has his way. And that's good enough. Let the Lord have his way. Our prayer leader was leading us this morning that God will help you to have peace. You will never have peace. You will never have joy. You will never have contentment until God has his way. You'll be fighting with God. You'll be wrestling with God. You'll be saying, oh God, I don't want to do your will. I want to do my will. You'll never have peace. So if you want to have this knowledge of God, you throw up your hands and you sing that old church song, all to Jesus. I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. And after you finish that song, you pick up another song. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. That's what is called dedication to him. And as we were having the prayer this morning and the praise and worship, the whole thing just blended. All I did in my little corner was just cry. And I said, God, I dedicate myself to you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give everything to you. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment, just have your way. Just have your way. Just have your way. If you do that, you will know him. Have you noticed that when a child is obedient to you, that child enjoys you? Let's be honest with us. Even we parents. When you have a child that is obedient, does this and does that, that child enjoys you. Others may say, well, mommy, you are being partial. No, I'm not being partial. They always say in my village that it is a little child that raises her hand like this that you carry. When you see a child and a child does like this, you don't carry them. But when a child does like this, he's saying, I surrender myself to you. Carry me. You're doing this to God, and you're saying, God, carry me. Who do you think he is? A crane? He's not going to force you. Dedicate yourself. Surrender yourself. Yield yourself. Number three, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Mark 8:34 talks about, if you are going to follow me, let me read it to you. While you are writing down your note, you don't have to turn to it. I will read it for you. Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Ah! It would be nice to see their cross, but the Bible says, your cross, carry it. It didn't say, hire somebody
to carry it for you. He said, carry it and follow me. And follow. It's not easy to move with a heavy cross. And many of you have heavy crosses this morning. I acknowledge it and know it because I'm your pastor. I plead with you. Don't let your cross cross your path and stop you from following Jesus. Carry the cross anyhow and say, God, give me grace to still move forward in spite of this cross. Many of you read about John Wesley. Many of you like John Wesley. Many of you love the sermons of John Wesley. Many of you love the songs of John Wesley. What you did not know about John Wesley was that the wife of John Wesley was a cross. But in spite of this cross, it was a blessing to multitude. Deny yourself. Deny yourself of the flesh. Deny yourself of the world. And carry your cross and follow him. His grace will overshadow your life. Number four. Number one, draw nigh. Number two, dedicate. Number three, deny. Number four, devote. Devote. Do you know, one of the ways to really, 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 really know a person is to devote yourself, number one, to reading about him. Isn't that right? To reading about him. That's what history is all about. All right? When you read about a person, you know him. When you talk to a person, you know him. Devote yourself to those two things religiously. Devote yourself to reading about God. Devote yourself to talking to God. And the best book to read, ladies and gentlemen, is the Holy Bible. Read it. It will help you to know God. Talk to God. It will help you to know God more intimately. The last, but not the least, Philippians, turn there to chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. See, that's what I told you earlier. Once you know this God, his power will flow in your life. Have you noticed that the more you pray, the more prophetic you get? The more prophetic dreams you get? The more you pray, the freer you are to flow in the spirit, the more you fast. Because the knowledge of him brings power into our lives. Somebody said, I don't know why this temptation so much overcomes me. It's because you are too far from him. Draw nigh him. Know him. And that temptation will amount to nothing in your life. But let's not forget. With this I close. With the knowledge of him also comes suffering. Can I say something tonight? This morning. As I sat down there, I began to think about people in this church who are suffering. You know, who are suffering one thing or another, maybe in the family, maybe on the job, maybe in the extended family. I was thinking about you all sitting down in that corner. People I know, women I know, men I know that are suffering. Can I tell you something? Do you know if you really didn't want to know God, you can escape this suffering today? You could. You can literally, if you make up your mind and say, well, I turn my back to the knowledge of God, you can walk away from the suffering. Now, I don't know what you will walk into, but at least you can get a temporary relief and release from your present suffering if you make up your mind, I walk away from the knowledge of God. You know what I see about knowing God? People, knowing God entails suffering. 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 You say, but why? It's very simple. The closer you get to know Christ, the greater an enemy you become to Satan. He will do everything in his power to buffet you, to stop you, to hinder you. But my grace is sufficient for you. Are you suffering right now? Get closer to God. Don't let it draw you away from God. Do you know that suffering can take prayer away from you? Suffering can take fasting away from you? Suffering can take church away from you. Suffering can take fellowship with the brethren away from you. Suffering can just make you say, I shut down. But Paul said, it's fellowship we have. Fellowship. He called it fellowship of his suffering. Fellowship of his suffering. knowing God brings suffering, but it's a suffering that ends up in glory. Can I tell you something? Look at all these men. Look at the shirts they have on. All nice. Look at all these women. Look at the blouses that they have on. Can I tell you a similarity between those things that look so nice on you on Sunday morning and the suffering that the Christian goes through? The things you have on have not always been clean. They were dirty. So what did you do? You took it out. Hallelujah. You washed it. That's what happens to the Christian. God takes you out with all your filthiness, with all your iniquity, and washes you, and washes you, and washes you, and purges you with the blood of Jesus. What happens? The shirt is clean. Hallelujah. Hey, thank God for a clean life. Thank God I don't do what I used to do anymore. Thank God I don't go where I used to go anymore. Thank God all things have passed away. All things have become new. The stain of iniquity is no longer in me. Thank God for that. But hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. After you wash the shirt, do you put it in the sun? You squeeze it, you do everything, and then it's dry. After it's dry, do you wear it? No! You know why? There are wrinkles. There are wrinkles all over the newly washed shirt. How do you get the wrinkles out? I said, how do you get the wrinkles out? My friend, I wish after you wash the shirt, you could just do like this. Abracadabra. Bah! And all the wrinkles are gone. I wish it would be like we used to deceive ourselves in primary school. They would say, go iron your dress. And we had this useless iron. When you talk about iron, we had iron because it was made of iron. And then you had to put charcoal, real, real charcoal inside it. And then the sparks are flying. Pa, pa. And then they had a chicken, a cock, on top of it that goes like this. Baka, baka. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Born and raised in the USA. You don't know it. You never grew up in the village. But I would tell my dad, I don't want to bother with that. So I will take my school shirt. I'll say, if I put it under my pillow. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like that. You did the exact same thing. I say, if I put it under my pillow with this little head, by the time I wake up in the morning, all the wrinkles will be gone. And then I wake up in the morning, there's a wrinkle here, there's a wrinkle here, there's a wrinkle here. Let me tell you something. Head won't do it all. You know what does it? Heat. 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 It is heat that takes the wrinkles out. It is heat that takes the wrinkle out. Every of this shirt, look how smooth it is. Look at that brother's shirt. Look how smooth it is. Look at his shirt. Look at how smooth it is. Look at my suit. Look at how smooth it is. It's been through the fire. That I may know him. Don't stop there. And the power of his resurrection. That's not the end of the verse. And the fellowship of his suffering. So the wrinkles, they're taken out. Have you noticed that when you are ironing a shirt and the wrinkles are not coming out, what do? You increase the heat. You increase the heat. And for some of you now, God has increased the heat. And you're saying, God, turn the heat down. And he said, no, no, no. This wrinkle must go out. Increase the heat. Say, God, God, it's enough. No, no, no. I'm trying to help you. This wrinkle must go out so that when you show up in church, so that when you show up on the job, so that when you show up in your community, so that when you show up among people, people will say, you look nice. You look gay. But they don't know what you've been through. They don't know what you've been through. When the final story is told and then we tell how we overcome, people will realize knowing God has not been a joke. Being through the fire, being through the storm, being through all kinds of trouble. But thank God, we are still standing. And by the grace of God, we are going to stand. You take the iron, ladies and gentlemen. You put intense pressure. And if you know what I'm talking about. You don't just iron it. Iron that goes like this doesn't take the wrinkle out. With the heat, also comes the pressure. You press it down. And as you press it down, do you feel like you are being pressed down? You know, Paul even said somewhere, he said, we are pressed out of measure. He said it. He said, we are pressed out of measure. And you are sitting here this morning looking at me. It is so you may know God. Saint, don't give up. Saint, don't give up. By the time this trial is over, you will come forth like gold tried in the fire and fit. 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 Ah! I said, fit for the master's use. Many of you are saying, I want to be used by you, God. I want to be used by you, God. All right, lay down. Get us the iron. And you know one thing about God ironing you? It's not God only iron the front. Don't iron the back. Some of you are wearing shirts this morning, especially the youths. If you ask some of the youths and some of the adults to remove their suit, you'll be shocked what you will find out. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Don't ask me how I know. And don't you ask me to remove my suit. They iron the front. And you ask them, won't you iron the back also? Nobody sees that one. Let me just iron the one that people say. No, God don't do that. God don't make no deals. After he irons the front, he says, turn back. And then he irons the back. And after he irons the back, he says, well, while ironing the back, some wrinkles developed in the front. So turn around again. And then he irons the front. And then he irons the front. As he irons the front, he says, wait a minute. We got to go to the side. So when you come out, you are able to demonstrate the power and the grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering saint, hold on. The ironing season is about to end. Rise up on your feet. Let's talk to the Lord this morning. I got more to say, but I got somewhere to go. Hallelujah. Let's just begin to praise the name of the Lord right now. Let's begin to say, Lord, we praise you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I adore you. Lord, I bless your holy name. Lord, Lord, I just thank you. I give you the glory. I give you the praise. I give you the honor this morning. I thank you for who you are. Thank you because there's none like you. Hallelujah. Lord, I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name for letting me come into an encounter with you. If you are saved this morning, begin to thank God for salvation. If you are not saved this morning, begin to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and come into my life. Just open your mouth and begin to bless the name of the Lord for salvation. If you are not saved, begin to say to the Lord, save my life. Save my life. Save my life. Save my life. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody under the sound of my voice, I want you to step out from where you are right now and come stand before me. We're going to dedicate ourselves to God anew and afresh. Me and you. A new day has dawned upon our lives. We won't live like we used to live anymore. We won't walk like we used to walk anymore. Say, how is it going to be done? My grace will do it for you. The grace of God that passeth all understanding. He was praying this morning. Peace that passeth all understanding. The grace God will give you will pass your own understanding. What you couldn't do, you begin to do it. What you couldn't handle, you begin to handle it. We are going to dedicate ourselves. You remember the day you got saved and the preacher told you to come before the altar? That was a significant step in your Christian walk. Here is another significant step this afternoon. We are going to rededicate our lives to the one that saved us. As you left your seat, something happened in the realm of the spirit. Did you hear what I said? You drew away from something. You don't know it. When you get out there behind those closed walls, then you will understand what I'm saying. New grace, new power, new strength to overcome what was overcoming you is already yours. by drawing near before God this afternoon. Where you are standing, in your own words, before I give you my own words, I want you to rededicate yourself to Jesus Christ. I want you to say, Lord, I rededicate myself to you. I rededicate myself to you. I thank you because I know you. Lord, everything I am, everything I have, everything I will ever be, I rededicate myself to you. I rededicate my heart. I rededicate my life. You've been a good God to me. I look at my life. You've been a good God to me. You are dedicated to me. This is the point. You are dedicated to me. Lord, I want to be as dedicated to you as you are to me. Oh God, look how dedicated God is to us. Let's tell God, just as you are to us, so we are to you this morning. Tell the Lord, I surrender all. I surrender my heart. I surrender my life. I surrender my mouth. I surrender my desires. I surrender everything about me unto you this afternoon. All to Jesus, I dedicate myself. I dedicate my time. I dedicate my mouth. I want you to dedicate your thoughts. I want you to dedicate your sexual organs. I want you to dedicate your desires. See, I dedicate my body. My entire body is yours now. Is yours. My mouth, my ears, my eyes, my everything. I dedicate everything to you now. Take me as I am. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. From now, I live for you alone. Every step that I take will be taken in you. Every word that I speak will be spoken in you. Everything that I do will be done in you. Have your way in me. Yes, that's right. Tell him that I'll have no other God beside you. I will have no other God. You will be my God in the morning. You'll be my God in the afternoon. You'll be my God in the evening. You'll be my God all the days of my life. Dedicate my life to you. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Everybody say, Father, say in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word, that the Almighty God, as great as you are, gives me the opportunity to draw close to you. What a great privilege. And from today, I take it seriously. Lord, give me the power to draw away from anything and from everything that competes with you in my life. I draw nigh you right now in the name of Jesus. All the gods in my life, I surrender them at the foot of the cross. I dedicate my life. I rededicate my life unto you right now. I surrender my entire body. I surrender my tongue. I surrender my eyes. I surrender my ears. I surrender myself from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I dedicate them to you in the name of Jesus. Father, the grace to deny myself of whatever I am indulging in. Give it to me in the name of Jesus. Make me to be devoted to you. Day and night. And Father, the sufferings in my life cannot be compared to the suffering of Jesus. Give me the right attitude. Give me the strength. Give me the grace. All the wrinkles in my life, let your iron remove them so that I may be worthy of God. So I can stand before men and not misrepresent God. Do it in me. Do it for me. Do it through me. I dedicate myself to you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. I mention your name. Say it again. Say, I mention your name Want again, say I. Mention your name. Say I consciously and deliberately, without anybody forcing me, dedicate myself to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We never planned to do this time yesterday. Everything that is happening here this morning is engineered by you for a purpose. The songs that were sang, the prayers that were prayed, we never met together. You put everything together. And here we are. Accept our dedication. Accept our surrenderedness. Where you have walked away from us because we walked away from you, let there be a reconnection. Let us not be weak. Let us not be weary. Let us not be tired. For every man and every woman in this place, I decree that you will have grace beyond your wildest imagination to be able to draw close to God. All the powers of darkness, witches, wizards, and forces of wickedness that have said you will not know God, before their eyes, they will see you triumphing, God, in the name of Jesus. And all the blessings that follow those that know God, as you go back to your seats, may those blessings pursue you. As you go back to your seats, may those blessings overtake you. As you go back to your seats, may those blessings abide upon your life. I decree it in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Go back to your seats with your blessing in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and give God a praise as you go. Go ahead and give him the things as you go. In the mighty name of Jesus.